This time last year, St Kilda were heading towards finals, and the decision to sack Brett Ratten in favour of bringing back Ross Lyon was being looked at as a masterstroke. So what's happened, and what can the Saints do to arrest their slide into insignificance? Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name's Andy Bellairs, and Glenn McFarlane will join the show coming up to talk the Saints, as well as the walking wounded at the AIA Centre. Collingwood aren't the only team to be suffering significant numbers of injuries to key players. But how do the Pies cover the holes, and how do they get through the next 4 weeks? Here's Macca. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, I'm joined by Glenn McFarlane. G'day, Macca.
G'day, Eddie. How are you?
I'm pretty good with my Demons getting a relatively easy win on the weekend.
Are they coming?
I don't think they are, I think the biggest thing to take out of that game on Sunday was actually not Melbourne, it was St Kilda. And where are St Kilda?
Where are they at? That's the thing. We're talking about, and we're going to have the Saints under the microscope in Moneyball this week. They're a club that everyone's talking about for all the wrong reasons in a lot of ways. They, 18 months ago, they sacked their coach because they think they're a top four, top six, top eight side. Played finals last year. They are on the precipice of falling off that cliff at this stage. If you look at their list, and we're having a really good analysis of the list, how many A-graders are on there? Could you name any? I'll give you a couple at a stretch, maybe.
Jack Steele is...
I reckon he's injured, Jack Steele, to have him out of that A-grader. Jack Sinclair I'd have in there for sure, but borderline for sure. Rowan Marshall at his best, but my goodness, did he come up against... arguably the best ruckman of the last 15 years.
How many letters after A do you have to get to Max Gorn?
He's triple A rating, isn't he? He's a triple A rating. So that's the issue with St Kilda. Like, their stars, if you're a kid and you want to put a number on your back, if you're a St Kilda supporter, and heaven help them, they've probably got a bit of a stretch in front of them. And whose number are you going to put on the back? It's a difficult scenario, isn't it?
Difficult. Yeah.
So we're going to have a good look at that and basically where they're at.
So what has gone wrong? I mean, as you said, you know, they saw themselves as being, you know, they wanted to be ruthless. Mm. They sacked Brett Ratten because, you know, he was doing okay and he'd been re-signed. But this was the thing that they needed to do to be seen as an A-grade team. And then from there...
they've overinflated their list. There's no question about that. And what's gone wrong with the style of play is an interesting scenario. They cannot score. Okay, they stop most clubs from scoring to a huge degree. Mm-hmm. Not all clubs, but they cannot score. So that's a massive issue going forward. If you can't score, you can't win.
Yeah.
That's the key to football in that sense. And we know that Ross Lyon will bite back. He'll hit back hard. But maybe this is the year they needed to have to go forward. But, gee, at the moment, they're going back at a rate of knots. When you think about this, so they play against West Coast. And I'll say that again. They play against West Coast. West Coast is $1.74 favourite on the weekend against St Kilda, $2.10. In Perth, of course. And they've won three games, St Kilda, and eight losses. So the same number of wins as West Coast. What sort of odds would you have had at the start of the year that happening?
That's incredible. And, you know, as we said, with names that kids can put on their backs, West Coast have a number of them. They've got hope for their fans.
I'm putting number nine straight away.
But St Kilda just don't. They seem to be, you know, they need to arrest something to stop themselves from slipping into that irrelevance.
Well, that's the thing. Whose number are you going to put on your back? Now, there's some good kids there, and maybe I've overinflated them like Rossi did, in a sense. You know, Darcy Wilson's going to be he's already a really good player. What's gone wrong with Mitch Owens in that sense? You know, Matthias Philippou, Marcus Windhager, some of these guys that I thought were going to be really good players have sort of plateaued a little bit this year. Owens has kicked 13 goals. Mind you, that's one more than Max King at the moment. So, and Max King... there's been a lot of analysis of Max King and where he's at as a player. And his injury issues, we know, they're well documented. But he just lacks that urgency to grab the ball, to make a difference, to really take a game by the throat, you know, by the scruff of the neck. And that's frustrating, isn't it, if it's a St Kilda supporter.
So what do they need, Macca?
They need midfield. And John Ralph's going to have a really good look in the Herald Sun about their one-pace midfield, because I think that's the issue at the moment. It's a midfield without, you know, any... pizzazz, any dare, any flair. That's what most the good midfields have got. That they've got a neat balance between, you know, really good negating sort of hard players, but also the player that can take the game on. I reckon the Saints is a very sameness about this midfield, so they desperately need that dynamic midfielder. There's a few other areas across the ground, but I think that's the area that they need most to. The concerning thing is, Andy, like, they've got lots of money in the it's not quite a war chest, but it's close enough to a war chest. I love the word. Yeah. So they've got a battle chest, not a Josh battle test, but that'll be interesting as well, because he's out of contract and there's other clubs sort of looking around.
Well, here. See, he's one of the shining lights.
Yes,
when you watch them,
yes.
As you said, defensively, they're quite solid, and he is one of the shining lights.
Correct. And so what they do need to do is attract really good key midfielders, dynamic midfielders. The hardest thing to do that when you're a team that's won three games. Why do you want to go there? You want to play finals next year? And this is the inequality of the, you know, of the free agency market and the trade period, is that people want to go to good clubs. They want to play in finals. At the moment, the Saints are not giving them that. So if you're thinking about going to St Kilda, you may be thinking, maybe not.
Can they do something now, do you think? Can Ross do something now to change what it seems to be an inevitable mid-bottom finish?
And I reckon that's the inevitable thing is a worry, and that's why you need to change. And I'd love them to see them just, you know, throw the defensiveness out 1 week and be prepared to lose by 100. Be prepared to do that. Not this week against West Coast. They do play West Coast twice this year, so this is their chance. But I think he just needs to, let's try something different. Let's be a bit more attacking. Let's unleash the shackles on some of these players who must feel like they've been manacled for a long time. Unleash it. Take the chains off. Let them play some free-flowing footy. If you get flogged, you get flogged. They're getting flogged. They're getting beaten anyway. Not flogged, but they're getting beaten anyway. So take a risk. Come on, Rossi. Let's just take some risks, hey?
Well, and the question also then becomes, you mentioned Josh Battle, but yes, they might struggle to bring top-flight midfielders in as free agents. Are they at risk of losing some of their better players who see brighter light?
Potentially. The other thing, have they paid too much for some of them as well? Some of those guys have been there. That's a potential as well, that they could do that. But I think bringing players in is just crucial. And obviously they're going to be set up for a really good draft pick this year. They've got to get that right. I just think they need to take some risks and kill it. You can't be stuck where they are at the moment and not be prepared to take risks. And when I talk about risks, I'm talking about game plan. I'm talking about selection. I'm talking about recruiting. I'm talking about being aggressive at the free agency and trade table. They've just got to take some risks or else they'll be stuck in that same spot that they've been for so many years now.
Well, there's a full half of a season left for that time decline to be arrested.
So, absolutely. Time to change. Well, starting with West Coast this week at the, what are they? $2.10 against West Coast. I'll say this again, $1.74.
Wow. How about that? You wouldn't have dreamed about it at the start of the season. Mac, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and let's talk about the Collingwood walking wounded.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast, A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Glenn McFarlane, Macca. The Pies, they're doing okay, but they've got a lot. They seem to every week have fewer and fewer players to pick
up. Yeah, there's a new sign down at the AIA Centre. It's not Collingwood, it's Collingwounded going up outside. I drove past there earlier today. There's a new sign there, and they've got 15 players out injured. Now, Collingwood's not the only team that we've seen a lot of teams have done this. Richmond have been in huge trouble as well. The Dogs have got a few. Carlton have had a lot as well. But Collingwood at the moment, it's all come together in the one hit, and they're very good players. Did well to get a draw, probably held on when I say there's a few people might query that umpiring decision that as well. But, to come out of that with fresh injuries, it's a real concern going forward with a really big game against the Bulldogs this week.
Well, when you look at Brody Majacek is as important a player, really.
Absolutely. Structurally as important as anyone.
Jordan Dugowie has shown the last few years that he's, they're far better with him in the team. And even Mason Cox structurally is very important. Yep. So out of your forward line, out of your goal kicking, the ability to kick goals, you're missing a huge sort of middle piece, aren't you?
There's no forward line, is there? Spoke to Bobby Hill a couple of weeks ago and he said in the Adelaide game, he was looking around and he was thinking, I'm the last guy here who's meant to be playing forward. Everyone else has been makeshift and turned around as well. And you look at that, like Cox out for 6 weeks is a real concern. He has his critics, Mason Cox, but structurally he's important. And, you know, as we said, Brody Mychek, they'll be a bit more conservative with him this time, I think. Likewise, that's why I think they're being a bit more conservative with DeGoey. He comes back briefly in and then has that abdominal tear. So he's out for 3 or 4. The one that was really sad that I was really excited watching Joe Richards play. He's a great story.
Yeah.
Amazing story. Was really good on the weekend. 102 super coach points. I had him sitting on my bench. Like, what am I doing? So, he's had that foot soreness, which turns out to be a fracture. So he now won't be back till sort of round 16, 17. So there's just a lot, and Will Hoskin Elliott out injured, Tom Mitchell still injured, Jamie Elliott still injured. It goes on and on and on. They might get a couple back. Jeremy Howe has to get through training on Wednesday to sort of get through that. Jack Bytel had the concussion on his first match for the Pies, so he might be a chance to come back. And you would think Finn McRae now gets his chance and gets a period of time to actually get some games under his belt. So they just got to hold on. They're going well enough. But they're in a, ladder-wise, for that top four position, they've really got to get through, the next 4 weeks, which are the Bulldogs, Melbourne, the Big King's birthday clash. That's going to be huge. North Melbourne and Gold Coast. And then it goes Essendon, Geelong. So there's some interesting games coming up.
Well, other than the two bigger games, and the Melbourne one, the Monday game is obviously the biggest one. So who kicks the goals? Their key core of their forward line around.
That's the issue, isn't it? Like, you would hope that Bobby Hill can sort of hit some goals there as well. Jeremy Howe, we know, has gone forward and kicked goals in the past, so he can certainly do that. I think that's the scary bit. Who kicks the goals? Sidebottom now is in that, back half now and is doing really well there. So he's one that I always used to think you could switch forward and go through that, but they can't afford to do that now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to share the goals. They're not going to have someone who's going to come out and kick 4 or 5. That's not going to happen. And if there is, well, they've found someone, because that's what they've got to do. Do you bring Ash Johnson back? Huge question mark over him. What happens with Nathan Kruger? They really don't have a lot of tools there that they can play. So they're going to have to go a very small forward line and just hope that they can have 10 or 11 goal kickers and share the load.
Well, Collingwood, as we know, over the last few years have shown the ability to win from anywhere.
Yep.
So this might be another challenge for Craig McRae.
Yeah, he's had a few and he's got another one here to come. But they're sort of thereabouts. Like, if they had got over the line last week, they'd be in that sort of fourth position bracket where Melbourne sort of is. They're the same amount of wins as Melbourne. You look at that little bracket there, the 28s. I call them the 28s. You got Melbourne, the Giants, Geelong, Collingwood and Carlton. It's that little, all of those guys are really pushing for that top, the last couple of spots in, or potentially the last spot, depending on what happens with Port Adelaide in that top four.
Absolutely. Okay, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Eddie. Cheers.
That'll do us on this edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Andy Belez, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane for flying solo as my guest today. As always, keep an eye out for the latest trade buzz in Moneyball on Wednesday morning. Mick McGuan will have his analysis of Friday night's game that will be online Thursday at midday. Of course, the early tackle on Saturday afternoon, and then Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. Catch you next time.